All right. Well, today we're in Genesis chapter 11. Now, I have to apologize a little bit. I discovered last night I've been studying the wrong lesson all week, so I was into next week. She's got the boys. My mom's 80th birthday was October the 1st, and her birthday wish is she wanted all of her family to be at church with her one Sunday, so today's the day. So when I leave here, we're all going to meet at their church, and everybody will be together. And it kind of ties in with the lesson being scattered. Families get scattered about, so, and you come together for a good purpose. But we left off last week studying about Noah, and then everything he had been through, and God had instructed him now, he and his family, to go and multiply, fulfill the earth. But I'm going to read the first four verses in Genesis chapter 11. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech." It says, "As men moved eastward, they found a place in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" Now, if you stop right there, they're already disobeying God's word. He had instructed Noah, go and fill the earth, multiply. Well, these folks, okay, we're going to leave, we're going to go east, but we're going to stop right there. We're going to build our own city, and we're going to build us a tower to the heavens, and we're going to make a name for ourselves. Don't care about anybody else. Well, what happens?
They didn't consult God
about it. True. But what happens in our life when we try maybe to do things without first maybe praying about it, seeking God's wisdom about it, or seeking godly advice from maybe fellow church members? But what happens sometimes if you just step out on your own and you try to accomplish something that you want to boast about? What happens? I did it all. And it's kind of interesting that if you think back when Adam and Eve and then Cain, whenever God dismissed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, they headed east. When Cain was dismissed, he headed east. And now we come to this part of the fulfillment and the stories. These are people, and I think Moses is reporting this, that, you know, do you sometimes take instructions or listen to somebody try to tell you something, but I'm going to do it my way again? These people headed east, but they were going to stop, like I said here, and they were going to build this tower. Now, what I thought was interesting is I've never seen a building that reached the sky, that reached the heavens. So how could a group of people say we're going to build a tower that tall and that high to where we're going to reach the heavens? Big dreams. But do you think perhaps that they thought if they built it that high and that tall, that they were the only people that's were gonna receive a touch from God. Are there examples in the world today where people are trying to reach God, but they're doing it the wrong way? False prophets. Or you have the biggest church, and you're all over the television. But sometimes the main theme there is what? All you've got to do is come and worship and trust in God, and He's going to reward you. That's not always true in life. Do you see people like that placing themselves maybe where they're trying to not exalt God, but place themselves above God? That I'm stronger than Him, I'm more powerful. You know, you need to listen to me because I'm preaching His word. God's not teaching it to you. I am. I know that's a hard thing to say, but looking at situations like that, do you see how people get caught up in a scheme, let's say, or in, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about families, but have you ever had family members? I had an aunt one time that any preacher on TV that asked for money, she was writing them a check and sending it to them. Is that wrong?
It is when they give more than they can afford.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Some of these older people, it's they give and then they do without.
Mm-hmm. They do without to take care of their own needs. But what was God's purpose initially? He wanted to inhabit the whole earth, not just a certain section. He wanted His word spread over the earth. Now, this is going on. What do you think God's doing? Shaking His head? Because if you start reading in verse 5, it says that the Lord came down to see where the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. He says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. I say this lightly, do you think God was conniving in His thoughts? Once again, they're trying to prove that they don't listen to me. They're taking it upon themselves to do things. I mean, he does give them credit. They're speaking one language, so they all understand one another, so they've got one purpose in life. So nothing will be impossible for them to achieve. But it's not my plan. It's not what He wanted. Now, when He says, let us go down, who is us? Him, the heavenly host, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. Let's go down and let's confuse their language. Now, what would happen today, and I can't do it, but what would happen today if all of a sudden I started speaking in Russian? Would you understand what I'm saying? I'd confuse you. I'd confuse myself.
Well, if you're speaking in tongues and we actually have the gift, and we would interpret.
Well, I mean, that came out that they are, God does come down. And the writer says he doesn't know exactly how he accomplished this. But later on, I think we find out that it's like when they came together, they were all speaking in different languages, but they could understand one another because they had the gift to do that. And when I read or thought about that, then, well, why confuse their language to begin with? If I speak in different languages and then everybody else can understand it, but I guess God is saying, no, we're not going to have just one universal language so that you can all just stay right here. That he knows, and what I'm taking from it is God understood that that was their purpose. They were going to build their city right there and go no further. And that wasn't his plan. Because the writer, they kind of point out that once they lost that communication and the separation from each other, the progress stopped. The building stopped.
When you think about it, God divided the language because they mm-hmm. were rebellion against him. But then at Pentecost, when everybody heard the gospel preached in their language, God unified the language again to bring people into
together.
Worship of him.
Mm-hmm. So if you go in verse 8 and 9, it says, so the Lord scattered them there, from there, all over the earth, and they stopped building a city. And it says, this is why it's called Babel, or Babylon, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Taking situations, whether sometimes they're good or sometimes they're bad, do you sometimes see how God uses a certain situation to bring unity back to his people? I mean, it'd be hard to imagine that God wouldn't want us to be unified. He wants us all, quote, thinking on the same plane, thinking the same thing. But we know in life there's going to be those that think differently than you and I. Even in the classroom, there may be different thoughts about situations. But have you seen, out of a difficult situation, good come out of it? On the flip side, have you ever seen where maybe you thought you had a good thing going on and you kind of sidetracked away from the Word of God or from His presence totally, and what can happen there? Good can go bad. So are we scattered on the face of the earth because of languages, or are we scattered on the face of the earth because ultimately that's God's total plan? I mean, He wants everybody in every corner of the world to hear His word and to know His word. I know this is kind of cutting this short, but this writer in James chapter 4, verse 6, the verse there says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Is it then because the Lord's telling us? Does the Lord give more favor to those who are proud of themselves and boast about it? Or does God take more delight in someone who is humble in their presence? Quote, submissive in the spirit. And when they hear the true word of God spoken, brought to them in a mighty force, that they tremble and shake a little bit. You know, in life we've probably known people that were very proud of themselves. And we may have known people inside the church who, let's say maybe you knew, had done well in life, but they didn't boast about it. They would take what God had blessed them with and they would share it with others. Maybe through their time serving in the church, giving to the church. But a lot of times there are people like that who do things that you never know about. Do they do that to gain grace with God? They do it because that's what it teaches us to do. You know, as far as when it, and this comes from Isaiah 66, verse 2, when it talks about the Lord says, I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirits, and trembles at my word. Does God want us to live in fear of him?
I think maybe the fear he's talking about is like respect for him, mm-hmm. and honor for him. Not to be that we're so scared of him, but that we have respect.
Yeah. But are there prophets, teachers out there that, I won't call it fire and brimstone type preaching, but that's all that, that's their main force, is they're trying to put that fear in you and scare you too, but that's not what God's word is wanting us to do. Because this one writer points out that the tower is going to be, probably going to see, it's just one of the first, say, occasions that illustrates in the truth the word from God that pride, we've heard this before, pride always goes before destruction. And have you witnessed or ever seen a movement, let's say, that's maybe happened in our church, another church, to where maybe there is a situation going on, but God's word intervenes, and through that, the gospel is brought back to the people and restored back to, and the church is restored back and the church flourishes. But talking about the false prophets earlier, can you see how, if you had false teachings, how a church could be destroyed? I mean, not that this was a church, this was a city today. What if God had not intervened here? Where would that city be, or where would creation have gone from that part? Like I said, that wasn't God's plan. He didn't tell them just to go to one place and stop, build your big city and just stay right there. We know, and like repeating, I'm just repeating it, is he wanted his word spread over the whole earth. because I kind of close with this statement is, do we fear God's judgment? And can God's judgment be swift sometimes? I mean, can you fathom or think that maybe you're thinking everything's going along fine? You know, we get proud of ourselves, and then something happens, and everything is taken away because God's judgment is swift. Can by listening to someone else that is not in the Word, can you relate that to as what happens here, that you know, I won't say that God has placed that upon that person to confuse what they're telling you, but do you think God sometimes will use someone like that to test our beliefs and our structure with Him to know right from wrong? That's all I got.
I can add one thing to it. Something that I was thinking about. When I know the secularists would say this is another example of God manipulating people to do, you know, to force them to do what He wants. But as believers, what we ought to see is God had just destroyed the earth with the flood. God could have not destroyed the earth with the flood. He could have literally sent meteorites or fire from heaven and literally destroyed the tower and killed all of the people that were working on it, and then that would have put the fear of God in people. And then they would have scattered. Because I'm going to tell you, you let something like that have people scatter. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't mean to make light of this, but I mean, when you think about 9/11 and you remember on the news, you would see the towers as they're getting ready to collapse, and you'd see
people running away
from it. I mean, you think, but you know, it's kind of similar. But God didn't do that. He spared them, and He, without hurting them, He changed their language, and then they scattered. But it could have been a lot worse on them. And they would have deserved it, just as we deserve His righteous wrath. But, you know, I think that's the difference between how we view God and how the humanistic world views God. Anything that He does that opposes man and man's will is being a tyrant. You know, to us, it's God's grace. You know, we see it for what it is.
That's very true.
And we wonder how much longer He's going to be patient with us. and grace and loving, because, I mean, goodness, He gives us chance after chance, and we mess up.
Because this one little last statement, this writer, he just says, be careful not to paint God as fearful of losing His power or dominion over His creation. I've never thought about that. But I guess what he's saying there, painting it, is like Ken just said, you know, could we start teaching that? You know, like in relation to what you said is, yeah, He could have destroyed them all. But we could teach people, well, you know, why didn't He? And why didn't He do this? And why didn't He do that? If He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful, why didn't He do that? And then, like, somebody could take your comment, Glenda, and say, you know, we wonder when He's coming back. How bad is it going to get? You know, do you hear people say, well, if He is all-knowing and also powerful, then why don't He come back and straighten things out? But He's doing it in His way and in His time.
Mm-hmm. We still try to rule the lives of our children when they're grown.
Yeah.
Well,
some.
But I'm saying, you know, it's we hold God to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. God has a higher standard than we do, but yet he provided a way for us to meet that standard,
right,
because we couldn't meet it on our own.
Right. But
it's how we view God. I mean, do we have, and I do believe it takes the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to be able to see God correctly. I don't think, because we can't even fathom God. I mean, there's certain aspects that we can, but for the lost world, and I think that would help us when we deal with the world, is to understand they don't have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to understand God and his righteousness and his holiness and his love for us, because I don't think I've ever heard a Christian say that God was unloving or mean.
No, but we maybe have heard Christians make a comment in times of distress or destruction or heartache. Why?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But that's different, but though. If you ask why, there's a little bit of difference in asking why and shaking your fist and saying, I hate you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big difference there.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, of course, our kids at some point or another... punish them for something that they did. You know, I hate you, I hope you die, you know. And it's kind of like, but do we still love them? Do we understand why they did it? We don't condone what they did, but we still love them through it. And we just continue to guide them. And I think the more we look at God, if we look at how we parent and how we feel about our children and grandchildren, and we look and we kind of see a mirror image of not that we attain God's holiness,
yeah,
but we, no matter what, we still love our kids and our grandkids. No matter what they do, we may not approve of it, we may even discipline them,
mm-hmm,
but we still love them. We have that love for them. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, Miss Lee. Does anybody else got anything to say? Have our prayer.
That's what we do. Is okay. It okay
if
we do it?
Oh, yes, we've been continuing that.
Okay. Let's have a benediction. Does anybody have anything to say? I just want to say I'm so glad to be back home and thank everybody for prayers while I'm gone.
Glad to have you back. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I've been reading during the week, and we got the Alabama Baptist, and I always look at it. Come on.